All right, welcome to this Mountain West Connection podcast here. Jeremy Moss hanging out solo this Thanksgiving week, MWCConnection.com. Clearly, you guys know the website. Also, Facebook, Mountain West Connection, Twitter, MWCConnection. And everyone knows that as well because you're listening here. If not, hey, check us out. I think we do some good stuff. And we have a week, the final regular season week games are here. Thanksgiving week. So maybe you're listening to this on a drive, flight, whatever. Appreciate it. Have a good time celebrating Thanksgiving with whoever you may be with. So, we'll just get right to it here. We're going to get to the games. We're going to make this probably about 45 minutes or so, especially since I'm going solo here. So let's just get to it. We'll get to some news during the games and everything. But let's just actually start with the first game. We have one Friday game. We have two non-conference games this week, actually. But we'll start with the, as we always do, chronological order. Boise State at San Jose State. And if you missed head coach Ron Carriger's comments during his press conference, he had the best zinger in a while saying, hey, we're going to install the triple option against Boise State this week. Yeah, I thought that was a good laugh. Pretty clever because three of the past four Boise conference losses have been against triple option teams. Air Force twice, New Mexico this year, and Mexico was a close one last year. Not that that was the reason they lost, but part of it, stuff's not going right there. Got the secondary giving up a ton of yards. Turnovers, things are falling apart a little bit for Boise State, but this is the game for San Jose State to become bowl eligible. They're sitting at 5-6, getting 6 wins. They'll become the 8th Mountain West team to be bowl eligible, which would be a league record. They tied it 7 again this year, which they also achieved last year. And right now, and also, I should probably give up the game time. This is an afternoon game on Black Friday. So instead of shopping, watch the game. It is a 12:30 Pacific out there, 3:30 Eastern on CBS Sports Network. And right now, Boise's a 7.5-point favorite, which sounds about right. San Jose State's been pretty good. We know Tyler Irvin. He's going to be the key player in this game. And Kenny Potter, he can run a little bit, the quarterback. Obviously, the triple option was just a joke about Carriger installing it, but don't be surprised if there's a couple, some sort of pitch option or that sort of offense in a few plays here or there. Just to open up the passing game, Tyler Winston is still out for San Jose State, so deep threat's not going to be there. We got Billy Freeman, they have a few other guys. And one thing as well, you got Correa there, linebacker for Boise State. Finally, he said earlier, I think in his press conference or maybe he's after practice one day talking about how he's going to be glad to be getting back to the quarterback and not focusing on that runner or the pitch man or take just basically following the exact same game plan you do for an option team, which is you stay in your assignment sound. And so that could change things up and get him more involved in the game and the Boise State defense. So he could maybe he'd be motivated for a sack or two, who knows, make some big plays now that he doesn't have to guard that option or pitch type play that New Mexico Air Force have been running. But this game, Tyler Irvin is obviously the guy to stop for Boise State. If they can, Irvin, he has slowed down a little bit of late. He has played some better defensive teams, like when he played BYU. That was a tough one for them. Nevada held him in check a little bit. Irvin finally picked it up against Hawaii last week with a pretty big game, kind of back to his normal stuff. 114 on the ground. Was it 5 receptions? If my eyes deceive me, 5 for 52, it looks like, on the receiving end. So he's back. But Boise's defense, they have been against a, I know it sounds disparaging, but a more traditional run-based offense. It's not any sort of option or even zone read type of things, or mostly option, I would say, is where they've been dominant. So Irvin, it'll be tough for him if he's going to have a big game. He'll get his yards. He'll do well. Like he did well against Auburn, against a lot of other teams that are on par, even better than Boise State on defensively or on the ground. But Irvin will be tough to stop. And then again, you got Kenny Potter. He'll run a little bit because he ran for 54 against Hawaii with 2 touchdowns. So that could be a kind of a, not a sneaky play, but where they will, as I mentioned before, mix in that option attack a little bit. And it might just be more of a pitch option, like nothing fancy, but just kind of the quick option where you got shotgun for Potter. And then you have Irvin either behind him like a pistol set or to his left or right and just run directly and do it that way. That would not surprise me. But Boise State, I know a lot of people complain. We talk about Boise a ton. Well, they've been the team for a while. They went to the Fiesta Bowl. They're a great team. Their past couple weeks have been down. This is the game they're favored. Probably should win this game. they are down, but heck, they're still a good team. Turnovers, you got to limit that. And here's the thing, secondary for San Jose State is very good. And Brett Rypien was turnovers versus Air Force, turnovers versus Utah State, New Mexico, all the turnovers they had, fumble was Jeremy McNichols' issue there in the, what, inside the five where he lost a ball. So that could be an area where San Jose State could thrive. They had Spartans had a pick six versus BYU. They're looking up right now, but I think they're still, I believe they're still the number one pass defense in the conference in yards per game, I should say. Yes, they are 149, so, and they have 8 interceptions. So it's, that'll be the key to the game. If Boise can avoid turnovers and slop Irvin a little bit, they'll probably win the game. However, San Jose State, if they can get a turnover like they kept the BYU game close with the pick six, if Irvin goes off for a big game, and if they somehow get a running game going with both Potter and Irvin, it could spell trouble for BYU. That was about 3 weeks ago. Boise State. And don't underestimate Spartans wanting to get to a bowl game. They've been pretty bad the past couple of years. They finally stepped it up. They got the players there, Potter, Irvin. Fortunately, Winston's out, but they have the players to make this game close and possibly even win. But I'm picking Boise to win. 7.5, that's a tough one. I'm going to take Boise to cover as well, but it's going to be a game that will come down to the end. Like, it'll be maybe a 10-point game, something close, because San Jose State has enough talent to win this game. I don't know if they will, because Boise wants to rebound. They want to get to 8 wins. They want to finish in the top half of the Mountain Division, and Spartans got bowl aspirations, but I'm going Boise to win, but it'll be close. It'll be like maybe a 10-point game, something where Boise may come back and kind of the backdoor cover to get ahead by 8 to 10 or 12 points, something like that. But it's not going to be a blowout either way, and I would not be shocked if San Jose State were to give Boise the third straight conference loss. And it's been, I think me and Chris talked about a few weeks ago, 93, I want to say, Chris said, or I think right before they joined FBS where they won, lost 3 conference games in a row. So that will be something interesting to watch if they lose, because, man, whew, things get heated if that would happen to Boise lose 3 in a row. But Boise's going to win. At least that's my prediction here. Let me know what you guys think, if you like my pick or not. But let's move on. Next game in order. Here you go. UNLV at Wyoming. Here's the big news out of that. Blake Decker's going to be back in this game, is what Tony Sanchez said. And neither team, unfortunately, is going to a bowl game. This game, as for the time it's kicking, it's out in War Memorial Stadium out there in Laramie. 12 p.m. local kickoff there in the Mountain Time Zone. So that's 11 Pacific for the Rebel fans. And it is a Saturday game. That one game, Boise-San Jose State, it's only Friday game this week. And getting Blake Decker's back, because Kurt Palandek, he's not the quarterback UNLV wants. He's, well, not that he's bad, but Blake Decker's improved quite a bit. He's still say shaky, because we know his passing completion percentage is not that good. He's sitting at, let's see if they even have it up on here anymore. Oh, I'm looking at, CFB stats is failing me. They have good old Palandek, who's 49% passing, 9 TDs, 5 picks. That's why you don't want him throwing the ball. I should definitely attempt to pull up Blake Decker's number, but he's been out for a past couple of weeks. Getting him back is a huge boost, because when they play like Boise State, teams like that, they were competitive for most of the game. They even got like beating Nevada. And Palandek's better when he comes in occasionally, maybe for that quarterback run type of play where he's like, okay, he's the, I hate to call it, but it's the wildcat, essentially, what they call it. But, you know what I mean? Running quarterback, essentially. And UNLV filled up, because Wyoming had a bye week last week. Kind of odd to have that late season bye. UNLV is getting better. Here's a couple of things about this game. The weather is a big deal. Snow is expected to go in Laramie today, I believe. Yeah, on Wednesday. So who knows? Tuesday. This is early in the week, so snow is expected, but it should be clear and might be 26 degrees or so. So it's supposed to be sunny. It's cold, obviously, but the wind should be minimal. It looks like it's expected to be clear, and so it's going to be cold regardless or whatever. Everybody's got to deal with it. Altitude, Wyoming's used to it, UNLV. That could come into play late in the game, but whatever. You don't want to give excuses for that. And if UNLV is going to get the win, it's going to be their first victory at War Memorial Stadium since 2003. And as for the line of this game, you've got UNLV by road, favorite by field goal. Because Wyoming's been unfortunately terrible. Outside of Brian Hill, let me rephrase that. Their defense has not been good. Brian Hill's a Doak Walker. He was a semifinals for Doak Walker Award. Tanner Gentry's still out, wide receiver. Cameron Kaufman's back. He was banged up. Nick Smith was in his place. So the redshirt senior have one last game at War Memorial Stadium. So the offense has been fine, but it's been the defense that has been given up so many yards. And it's and you can see Blake Decker for UNLV having a big game because that secondary is the weakness of this Wyoming defense, I should say. They have not been competitive too much overall, give up big plays. I can see Kaufman throwing for a decent amount of yards, but without Gentry there, who was one of the midseason additions to the Biletnikoff Award, obviously not a semifinalist, not even a finalist since he's been missing the past couple of games. But the pass defense for UNLV, kind of both sides of this, UNLV sitting at 239. Wyoming's actually better than I thought. I apologize for that. They're 190. But when you're looking at their games they've played, they've been playing like San Diego State. They don't throw the ball all that well or too much, I should say. Efficient, but not for yardage. They did hold Nick Stephen to Colorado State to 120, but like Utah State, to Boise State, Nevada, well over 200 yards, 300 versus Washington, Eastern Michigan, 330. So it's been up and down that Wyoming secondary, but 20 touchdown passes is a big deal and only 4 interceptions. So I would expect Decker to have a pretty big game. Devontae Boyd, I should say. I think I said Decker earlier, but that connection, if he's back, he's a better thrower. Then you have a pound deck, and because here's the thing. Well, I mean, they already said they're playing for next year. That's the thing. They win this game, they're 2-10. It'll be their worst record since 2010. If they lose, they'd have their 11th loss, would be a program record. It's been a tough year for Wyoming. But if they can get off to a win, it would help them for next year. And they have Brian Hill back. They will have a new quarterback. So they'll have a couple guys. It could be Nate Smith. There's a few other guys who could battle it later this spring. But this is a game where they want to show their growth, which fortunately hasn't been all that great this year, especially defensively. And it could bounce back. A couple years ago, they were 4-8, 5-7, I believe. And then they went 8-5 in 2010. 3-9. This is a couple years ago. Let me actually read this exactly. In 2010, the win over Colorado State end of season snapped a 6-game losing streak, which they're currently on a 4-game right now, improved to 3-9. The next year, they went to the New Mexico Bowl, going 8-5 in 2011. So they're hoping for that type of year where they can get a win and get a bounce back. Here's an interesting stat here from the Trib.com, the Wyoming paper. They have lost the previous 4 season finales. New Mexico last year, Utah State, San Diego State, Temple, but that Colorado State win in 2010 was 44-0. So, yeah, I tossed in soccer reference there. What are you going to do? 44-0, that's what I said. I could see. Here's the thing. I don't think this is going to be a blow. That's why it's only a 3-point line here. Wyoming has the running attack to take care of UNLV. Brian Hill will get yards. He'll probably have a big game. But I think with Blake Decker coming back, even though Cameron Crawford's back for Wyoming, I think UNLV, as I mentioned last week, their defense overall isn't great. I kind of misspoke on that. I just remember seeing 1 or 2 games where they're doing quite well. But overall, their pass defense isn't very good, and their rush defense is not very good either. They're sitting at 9th in the conference, giving up 6 yards a carry almost, really 5.5. But, man, I'm actually going to go the opposite. I know Chris is going to hate me for this, but I'm going to take Wyoming to win outright. Sounds crazy, but with the way their rushing defense is for UNLV, it's going to be a heavy dose of Brian Hill this entire game. Because looking at, when they played San Diego State, they had Chase Price and Donald Pumphrey combined for 286, plus probably some other rushing yards, but you could buy Jeff rushing on the ground. 5.96 yards per carry. At Colorado State, 7 yards per carry. They allowed over six yards per carry against Hawaii. And so, but it's odd. You look at the Nevada game, only 4 yards per carry. So I'm taking the upset. This might be my stupid upset pick, but I'm going Wyoming to win outright at home and get Craig Bowl on the right track. And UNLV, you'll be fine. Possible bowl game. We'll get to 2016 later in the offseason shows, but finished 3-9. Yes, it's only 3 wins, but Sanchez has me as a believer that they're competitive, can play well, and possibly even win more games, and they'll contend for a bowl game next year. And if things go right, in the third year Sanchez era, they'll make a bowl game. All right, moving on. Next game, Utah State hosting BYU, CBS Sports Network, another afternoon game. You got 2 afternoon games, and you go to the evening. So 1:30 local time, 3:30 Eastern. right now, BYU's only a 3-point favorite. BYU sitting at 8-3, while Utah State 6-5, which is quite interesting that Utah State is only a small underdog in this game. BYU's been quite good this year, especially their defense. They finally picked it back up. Their offense hasn't been doing well. If you saw versus San Jose State, the offense, part of that was they're missing most of the offensive linemen. They got all those guys back versus Missouri, partially versus Missouri and completely versus Fresno State. Took them about a quarter or two to get back in the game versus Fresno State just to get the cohesiveness back. So I was at that Fresno game, as I mentioned in the recap, and they looked very good. That defensive front against offensive front, and obviously Bronson Kafusi had what? I think 3 sacks, a forced fumble, the forced fumble is called back. He had the blocked field goal, pass breakup. That's what I meant to say. But Utah State, they're better than Fresno State. Their offensive line's better, but still, the key player for Utah State to block on is obviously Bronson Kafusi. Head coach Matt Wells called him a modern-day Goliath, which, man, that's very true. Brett Musburger, when they played Missouri, said he could start for Alabama. He's a guy they got to watch. He also got secondary. Got Chucky Keaton possibly starting. That's a big story. I kind of passed over. Keaton's looking likely to get to start after Kent Meyer suffered a shoulder injury in their comeback win against Nevada. So he's probably out. So Keaton will get senior day. One last crack at BYU, which he hasn't been able to beat because he got knocked out 2 years ago, and he lost a 6-3 game. Ugly. I remember being at that game. Ugly 6-3 game at BYU. So there's that. Then Hunter Sharp, one of the matchups I want to see, Hunter Sharp versus BYU's Kainakua. He has multiple interceptions. He had a pick six last week. He had a pick six, I think, in the Boise State game early in the year. He's a guy they got to look out for, but you got to get Hunter Sharp involved down the field. BYU secondary is pretty good. And Michael Wadsworth, like I said, Kainakua is back there. They have players. Their defense is very good. Offense, it's been hit or miss. They have Tanner Mangum stepped in week one for those. We should know by now. They played enough Mountain West schools to kind of talk about BYU, but he's doing quite well. The running attack has not been that great for BYU. That's where Utah State can come in here. Kyler Fackrell, Vigil back there. They're going to cause some trouble, and they're not going to make it easy on Tanner Mangum, the offensive line for BYU, to just block Utah State. Because Utah State's, granted, this year hasn't been great for them. They're not what they thought they should be or where they'd want to be at. With they beat Boise State, like, oh, we're great. We're going to win the conference. Then they lose, they get just crushed by San Diego State. That game was just awful to watch, unfortunately. Not if you're Aztec fan, obviously, but Utah State side, they cannot get much done going on. They lost to New Mexico in a terrible showing for their offense. And they got back versus when Chucky Keaton took over a little bit in the Nevada game to become bowl eligible. I could see this game going either way. I'd probably lean toward BYU to win and cover because it's 3 points. It's not very much, which anybody should take this game at 3 points, I think. Well, not anybody, but it's close enough to say, yeah, I could see Utah State winning, which I can, or I could see BYU winning because they're favorite. It's going to come down to, I think, if Utah State can stop the running attack. They need to stop. Obviously, they have to stop the running attack in general, but if they can get to the quarterback, that's obviously a big deal as well. Because if you slow down the running attack, that means Tanner Mangum has to throw, and BYU has some height in the receiver, like Taron Houck, Nick Kurtz. They got some big guys, Mitch Matthews, all these guys above 6'2". So secondary is going to have to get into this game and make some plays. And they stopped last week, Nevada, when they played the Wolfpack. They held Hashawn Henderson to, I believe, 2 receptions. That's it. Yeah, 2 for 16. Jericho Richardson had a pretty good game. But Tyler Stewart throwing, not quite the same quarterback as Tanner Mangum there for BYU. So if they can get to Mangum, and then also slow down the running attack, because I don't trust him running attack all that much. And the stats versus Fresno State for BYU, again, Fresno State's rushing defensive stalwart is not there at all. They're not a team that can stop or do anything that great on the ground. But it's a tough game. I want to see Chucky get the last win versus BYU to finally, because we're all hoping that it'll be Taysom Hill, Chucky Keaton, settle it on the field for once. But Keaton's getting a start, so that's always great. I think the key, Keaton needs to stay healthy. He's going to want to. The only problem I see with this, he may want to over pursue what he normally does because he's got the adrenaline going, playing BYU. It is a rival. We got the old wagon wheel on the line, which Utah State owns because they won last year. I don't know what Utah State team's going to show up. That's a problem because they're susceptible to the running attack, which we saw San Diego State, Wyoming, other games. But then their defense looks to have tightened it up just enough to get this back in this game. But I'm just going to go Utah State to win. Forget it. I'm going to go against BYU in this game. It'll be close. I think Chucky Keaton will have a good game. He'll run just enough. Got one guy I have not mentioned at all is Devontae Mays. If he can run the ball well, because that's kind of BYU's weakness a little bit, rushing on the defensive side of the ball, stopping that aspect of the game. But I'm going to Utah State to win outright and cover. Well, that doesn't make sense because if you win, they cover because it's 3 for BYU. Utah State for the win. So check that one game out. Next game, we go to the evening. I've got to hustle these up here. I got things to do. And I want you guys to listen to this Wednesday afternoon. Next game, CSU at Fresno State. Also CBS Sports Network game 6 Pacific. I could just go Colorado State will win by 2 touchdowns. They're favored by 10 on the road. They're going to win by 2 touchdowns just because Fresno has shown, as Matt said in his recap or his previews or whatever he's written on the team, joining our show, Fresno has not shown an ounce of improvement all year long. It's been the same team over and over and over. And I think Nick Stevens for Colorado State's going to have a big game. Rashard Hollywood Higgins going to have a big game as well. They snuck by New Mexico winning by a touchdown, even though 2 field goals were held within the 25-yard line. The defense does have some concerns, but I don't know who's going to start. Kelton Anderson got some playing time. Zach Greenlee played last week versus BYU, had a couple interceptions, 1 for a pick 6, almost had 2 returned for a touchdown. He happened to make a game-saving tackle, or I should say touchdown-saving tackle. And I just don't trust, like I said, versus Fresno State. I don't trust this team. They haven't improved one bit, and offensive staff has to clear house. And here's a few things right here. There's injuries that are apparently mounting up for Fresno State, which we kind of know as well. They had 8 players. This is kind of from the Fresno B, kind of an overview of like, oh, they're not doing well, or here's the reason why, attrition, injuries. 8 players left the program. Bulldogs will have, I guess they're kind of looking forward. They'll have their full allotment, 25 scholarships to use next year, but I don't think it matters all that much because they're looking for something to write about. And so here's one key stat. 39 Fresno State players have started at least one game this season. That's way too many. That is ridiculous. And then 14 of those were first-time starters. That's 9 true freshmen or redshirt freshmen there. So that's the issue. Depth from injuries, people leaving the program has been hurting this team, but it's terrible. Like, here's a couple notes here. Cornerback, nothing that matters. They're not going to win. And Tank Kelly's out with an indefinite suspension for violating team rules. Still on the team, though, but he's not going to play next week. So, and here's an interesting stat as well. Fresno State has allowed 58 touchdowns, most in the Mountain West. However, don't have to worry about let's hopefully say, because Kansas State and SMU are tied for last at 127, giving up 66. I would hope that Fresno State will now allow at least 8 touchdowns to tie that mark. They probably might need 9 to beat it, depending what those two teams give up. But as you can tell, Fresno gives up a lot of points, and I could see Rashard Higgins, Nick Stevens having a big game, Daylon Dawkins running the ball well. I want to see, because I'm picking Rams to win and win outright. That shouldn't be a shock to anybody, but Fresno, show up. Show me some improvement. Do something that says, oh, we're going to be better today. We're going to improve on something. Martiz Wallrig has a big game. Get something done to say that this team will be improvement and something to look forward to next year, because that's where they're at right now. Next year is where Fresno State's at. Who knows who will be coaching? I think we're all in agreement that it's going to be Tim DeRuiter, no matter what, back as head coach. But who's going to be the OC? Who's going to be the quarterback coach? Who's going to be, basically it's just who's going to be back on this game. I'm checking real quick just to double check the QB situation. Not that it matters too much. Officially, it's an either or situation. Greenlee or Kelton Anderson. I don't know if it means anything if Anderson's bolded on here, but it has the or. Not that it matters, but they're just terrible. I apologize to everybody who's a Fresno State fan. There's not much to look positively on this team as I'm trying to. Hopefully, I guess one positive with all the new starters, especially the 9 true or redshirt freshmen getting at least one start, they'll have that experience for next year, where they're not just kind of deer in headlights and like, oh, I'm starting, what do I do? Or just have the comfort level of knowing what to do, knowing the plays, knowing your assignments when you're in the game at a more consistent basis next year. That's the only positive things I got, but I think Rams are going to roll and roll big in this matchup. So that's one of the early evening games. Next game, moving along, Air Force at New Mexico. Oh, man, this game had so much potential. Still does, but not as much meaningful in this online, because had New Mexico beat Colorado State, this would define the Mountain Division champion, but it's Air Force, who's 8-3, 6-1 in the conference. This game's on ESPNU, 8:15 Mountain Time, Saturday night, probably 8:25 with all the late kicks, with the games being extended, blah, 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 all that great stuff. If I had to guess the line, which I see it now, it's kind of surprising. Air Force is a road 10-point favorite. Also, if you watch this game, this will probably be one of the faster-played games this year, with both teams not passing a ton. Got the run-based option, triple option, pistol run-based, whatever you want to call it from each side. I shouldn't say don't know what to make of the game, because that's kind of dumb to say. This will be a game where, obviously, not many passing yards. I think it's going to come down to the passing, though. Carson Roberts, he's shown to been able to, the past couple weeks, we knew he's a thrower, not much of a runner. He's improved on his commanding the offense or running the ball as late. Because if you look at the past couple of games, he's had three of his last four over 50 yards and double-digit carries in three of those as well. But more importantly, his past three games, 156 passing yards versus Army, but more importantly, Utah State, Boise State threw for over 270 yards, three total touchdowns. Did have the three picks versus Boise, but they still ended up winning that game last weekend to clinch the Mountain Division. I'm thinking it'll be Carson Roberts, the reason they could, New Mexico will not win this game. Because look at the passing yards that New Mexico has given up for to, what did Brett Rippon throw, 74 times, completed 40 for over 500 yards. Not that Carson Roberts, he won't have that, I think, by any means, but that's probably going to be the difference with him running the ball that well, or throwing the ball, excuse me, and then mixing in his ground attack as well. And he got Colin, the wide receiver there, and Jalen Robinette, who I kind of dismissed earlier, but he had 2 for 79, but then he got Garrett Griffin, tight end. I think he's technically a tight end, but wide receiver. He is listed as a tight end. 107 yards, had a touchdown last week, only three receptions, but got it done. That's what I think will be a difference in this game. New Mexico will run the ball well, as they normally do. This will be obviously a fast-paced game. I don't think it'll be a blowout, but I'm going to go Air Force to cover, even though I've kind of been on the Mexico bandwagon. I think Air Force will get the job done. They'll get the win. Yes, I know they clinched the Mountain Division already, but there's still home field advantage on the line, and we'll get to that. Well, we'll talk about it now. They're using the computers. You got the old BCS computers doing this. So Aztecs could get screwed if they do finish undefeated, but Air Force has two conference losses. And the way it really should go, Air Force is my pick. They're going to win, but it'll be, I'm going to go two touchdowns for Air Force, but it'll be, New Mexico is not going to give up. I'm wondering if there's a letdown just because they lost last week and aren't in the division title game, or at least in the running for the division title and the conference game. But the way it should work, I get the point of protecting the best team in the conference if there's a New Year's Six bowl game on the line. However, there's no chance this year. And the way it should go, because here's the thing. Last year, Boise State was ranked. They had a better conference record. That should be, I still feel conference record should be the case. And I don't want exceptions. Like, I don't want to say, oh, if you're ranked, but the other division half has no conference losses, they get in. I think it should go to this. This should be the way to go. First overall conference record, then head-to-head. Because, yes, if you lose head-to-head, but you still got to have overall conference record as the most important thing. Overall conference record, in this case, simple, go to San Diego State. But if they're tied, go to head-to-head. If it's available. And then, obviously, winner, there you go. You got to settle. If there's no head-to-head, go through, they're in separate divisions. So you don't want to go by divisional record, because that's separate, unless they're within division, but I'm getting too deep. But after, if there's no head-to-head, overall conference record favors nobody, there's no head-to-head, then go to common opponent. That's what I think it should come down to. And somehow, if it's still tied after common opponent, then use these computer rankings to host. That's the way it should be. I get the point. And then also, I know San Diego State fans, or at least one particular, doesn't apparently think we're too heavy in the Mountain side. But here's the thing. I'm watching, reading comments in the Union Tribune talking about this, because they've been on this for a while, and I kind of jabbed on them a little bit, but they have a point now. Now that they're 8-0, I feel talking about it 4 weeks ago is prematurely by quite a bit. But they do have a point. And I'm going to agree with them at this time. But the comments on, they're like, oh, it's a favored Boise State. That's the reason. Ever since we backed out of the Big East, the Big West, the State of the Mountain West, it's all been about Boise. Yeah, they got the TV deal because, again, they're the brand name of the conference. Sorry, San Diego State fans, they are. But here's the thing. If San Diego State was in a position, or any team, I'm just using them because I'm talking about them, but if it was Nevada, if it was Hawaii, if it was Air Force, New Mexico, if they're getting in a position, that's the rule wasn't a Boise State rule. The rule was, which I get the point, but it's flawed right now. I'm assuming during the offseason they'll make some tweaks to it. But they want to protect a team to get the best chance in a New Year's Six bowl game. And by the current status they have now, where if you're ranked, you're in. You're going to host. And I'm wondering if they may make an exception where, and I would still not 100% agree with this, but it would make sense to me and I'd be fine with it, is if, say, for example, like San Diego State this year, they're obviously very good. They stumbled in non-conference, Penn State, and that terrible South Alabama loss. But let's just say they have one loss in the season. They lost to whoever, not. It could even be a good loss. They both teams go undefeated in the conference play, but again, there's no head-to-head. Say you have a 12-0, we'll do Boise State. Stick with them. 12-0 Boise State, San Diego State 11-1. Both undefeated in conference, same margin of victory. San Diego State's just crushing the West Division, which is a little bit easier than the Mountain Division. Boise State struggles, maybe with a couple overtime games. And neither are ranked, but honestly, they'd be ranked. But if there's a ranked team, like say they're ranked in there, they should be put in ahead of that team that's undefeated. Or actually, I got it backwards. Let me rephrase that. Say Boise State has a loss, but San Diego State's undefeated in conference play. Let's just say they're both 11-1. That makes sense because we'll just go with that scenario. So disregard, I could edit this, but I'm not. But disregard what I just mentioned. Boise State has a worse record because that's what we're in right now. So let's just say the Mountain Division is Boise 11-1. Say San Diego State's 11-1, but they're undefeated in the conference play, no head-to-head. But Boise's ranked, say, 20, and San Diego State's 25 in the college football playoff poll. Because that's reasonable. One loss in the Mountain West. Look what the Americans doing now. I would be okay. I know Aztecs fans will just crush it, but whoever, flipping around, whatever team ranked higher, I would be fine with hosting. But even then, at that point, and let's just, I don't want to put caveats everywhere, but if they're both ranked and say Boise or whoever, I'm doing Boise example just because they've been there before, and that's what my Aztec fans are kind of railing against the Boise rule. Let's just say they're ranked higher just because their loss was deemed better than San Diego State's loss, whatever that's worth. But I think if they're both ranked, still go by conference record because you're both ranked. The winner's going to get a boost in strength of schedule, and the odds are you're getting the best team still in the title game, not title game, but to move on to a potential New Year's Six bowl game. We could see that in the American Conference this year. We'll see how it plays out. We get Navy and Houston this weekend. Both, I think Houston's still ranked, if not they're close. But that title game could see two ranked teams. If they're both ranked and you win, odds of you getting the title game spot over, New Year's Six bowl game spot over the American, the MAC champion, CUSA, even Sunbelt, is still great. So I get the point, and they may stick to if you're ranked higher in the playoff poll, you get to host. But then again, if more than one team's ranked, I get them. I understand the point. They want the money. People want to make money in the conference. You go to the Fiesta Bowl, you get money. The school gets money. The conference gets money. Recognition, all the snowball effect stuff the league wants to achieve. However, I guess I'm backtracking overall a little bit, but I get their point. If that sticks that way, I'd be okay with it, but I think it still should be conference record, head-to-head. Like I said, common opponent, division record, down the line, then use the computer rankings. Computer rankings shouldn't be involved unless it's like last resort. That's better than coin flip because at least it's objective for the computer rankings to pick and can, not that they're watching the games, but they have their numbers on the inside to do that, to kind of say, okay, this team's better because A, B, and C. That's kind of my stance on it. It kind of stinks now. It's a raw deal for San Diego State because right now Air Force is expected to host and they have a lead between the composite rankings, and if they win, they're in. If they lose, the game's going to be at Qualcomm. Right now, it looks like it's going to be at Air Force. And it sucks. If you're 8-0 in conference, San Diego State, you go on the road to a 7-1 conference team. It's the rules and complain, and there will be a lot of discussion. I fully expect this rule to be changed. Let's go back to some games here. That was a long thing to chat about where I wasn't getting to the games, but that's kind of my spy. I figured talking about Air Force was a great time to bring that subject up. And the next games we have going on, you got Nevada at San Diego State. Same thing. A lot on the line, but not a lot on the line. Nevada lost last week, which kicked them out of any chance of winning the division. Actually, San Diego State winning would have done that as well. So Aztecs are a 17-point home favorite. They've been crushing their opponents. This game's at Qualcomm. That's why the big line there, 50-point spread. Here's the thing. Nevada, they're hit and miss. We've seen them be good. Like the first half versus Utah State, moved the ball well, did good things. But then second half, they crapped the bed, essentially, and lost that game. They're bowl eligible, so they go bowling. So that's a good thing. But don't look for San Diego State to lie back in this game. They're going to want to pummel the ball. Donald Pumphrey, Chase Price there. They're going to want to move the ball. And I think Nevada will be competitive and score some points. That's why the line's over 50, 50.5 to be exact. But Tyler Stewart, like I say a lot, get Sean Henderson involved. Even Jericho Richardson's a good wide receiver. But as I say it a lot, the pistol offense works well when you have either Butler, could be Don Jackson, getting about 120, 150-ish. Next guy gets about 70. Stewart gets about 50 or so, throws for about 200 yards. I don't know if that's the case because the Aztecs defense has been on fire once they've gotten to full health, getting players back from a suspension. But look at their last few games. They've given up. Let's see. I'm looking right here. Three of the last seven games, 7 points or less. And then the most points they've given up since Penn State loss, where they gave up 21 points. Oh, and if I could read, folks. Sorry, it's 30. That was the loss. I apologize. They give up 37. It's not listed how I'd prefer here, but since that Penn State loss, undefeated, obviously, in conference, they've allowed 17 points is the max, and that's to a pretty good Colorado State team, and the Rams were not even close. That was a 41-17 San Diego State win. So that defense has been just crushing it. Like, even looking at when they played, a good example in this game, you want to look at Wyoming. They held Brian Hill to just 72 yards, and he's much better than James Butler and Don Jackson. The combination, however, of Nevada could cause some issues with different players running the ball, but I don't think it's going to be enough. I could see Nevada hanging around and covering this game, but I don't expect them to win at all. And I'm going to go take Nevada to cover, but it's still going to be like a 2-touchdown win for San Diego State. It's like 28-14. I think they could score a few points, but it'll be close. I just think Nevada has the... I'm going off potential. We've seen what they can do in certain games this year. Like San Jose State, they put up a lot of points. New Mexico's defense is not too bad, put up a lot of points. So I'm going to go with them. That's why I think they'll be able to hang around a little bit. But it'll be one of those games like, oh, San Diego State's up 10-0, 17-3, 17-10, 20-13. One of those type of games. So, but San Diego State's going to be a 2-touchdown victor in this one. Last game, 11 Eastern, 9 Mountain, out in 6 p.m. in Honolulu, Hawaii time. No line on this game between the 1-10 Louisiana Monroe Warhawks, I want to say. As I put the Warhawk in, like that, Warhawk? Question mark. They are the Warhawks, yes. And then you have them taking on, obviously, Hawaii hosting. No line. If I were to put a hypothetical, I'd go -3 for a while. I mean, just give them the home field to be done with it. Hawaii knew a mess. They're still working on their head coach. There's nothing in place or anything really known about who's going to be their head coach. But here's the thing you need to know about Hawaii, or Hawaii playing Louisiana Monroe. Their only win is versus Nicholls State when they won 47-0. That's the FCS team. They actually held Alabama to 34 points, but they're losing like Arkansas State 59-21, giving up 51 to Troy, 59 to App State. Only 34 to Tulsa, which is somewhat surprising. Georgia Southern, 51 points. 51 to Georgia. UGA, they're the Bulldogs. They are in need of a new head coach as well. Their head coach is out. They have a search committee going on, so that's going to be, Todd Barry, I want to say, is out. I should probably look that up. But regardless, new head coach. They're going to have a new coach. And it's just a mess of a team. Like, Hawaii's at home, so I'm going to pick Hawaii just because. But I don't have much confidence in this game. If Ikaika Woosley there throwing the ball. Paul Harris is the only good thing about this team. He can run the ball well. But at the end of the season, they're going to be needing a new head coach. Their interim coach, he's not going to be around. The assistant staff, they're not going to be retained, most likely. Okay, when you heard about them losing their contract that they're expiring, I think in February or March, that's the norm. There might be one or two guys back, but I don't think that's going to be the case. I think they're just going to clean house and be done with it. That's
Yeah.
That's what's going on there. But I'm going to go Hawaii to win. And no, I'm not going win big. They're just going to win. Since it's essentially a pick 'em, I can go with the win, and that's it. But they'll win by probably a field goal or a touchdown or something. So if you want to stay up and watch that in the Mountain West Network, go ahead and do that. And that's pretty much what we got for tonight. I do want to discuss a couple things really quick. Should have put this at the beginning. We have T-shirts. We've already sold a couple, which is awesome. So I appreciate those guys who came out to support us. We got a couple things here. I probably should. Oh, maybe I'll. Well, no, it's good to get to it all now. We have the ugly Christmas T-shirt, sweater T-shirt. So it's pretty cool. College Game Day Depot does shirts for us. We've only had a couple. We got the Quinter back. But we have a few shirts in stock now, some new ones. It's like the ugly sweater design. It's kind of cheesy, but kind of fun. You get the reindeer, that print, but it's a T-shirt. So go check out our site. We have them on the front page there. We have a couple sayings, and I already know some people are getting some. I'm ordering a few for our staff. Wanted to do so, but here's what they say. You got Santa ain't play nobody. And I think Chris and I discussed this last week. You got the Quinter back with the actual winter slogan on there, like Q, then winter in parentheses back, and then 'tis the bull season with bull in parentheses. So got a bunch of colors. You got red, the light blue. I meant to say Air Force blue, but I still kind of like that light, kind of like a baby blue essentially. You got black, you got purple, dark blue, which can go for Nevada and Utah State. I thought I did brown and orange, a blue for Boise, but the blue didn't come out what I wanted to. So Boise fans, I apologize if there's not a color to your liking. You can always take purple because that's the website color, I guess, if you really want to check it out. But I think they're pretty cool. Check out the site, order them. Got to order them pretty quick because these are all custom made. So you got to order them about 2 weeks before if you want them for like a Christmas present or whatever. And then Bombas, we'll talk about that really quick. Again, the best socks around. I'm wearing my black Bombas right now. I got the hive stitching there. They donate a pair for every pair you buy. If you go to our code, it's bombas.com/mountainwest, 20% off your first order or first time order of 4 or more pairs. They got some socks from Gap. You got the Volt colors. You got American flag, I think, are still available. They do have subtle white and dark blue if you want. But again, they're most comfortable socks to wear. Check them out. The link's on the website if you want, or in the show notes. So appreciate it. Again, bombas.com/mountainwest. Final thing to talk about. So we got that out of the way. Probably should have done that earlier so people may listen and know, but who knows? Heck, check them out. They'll be cool. And then finally, and it's not football related, it's basketball. And we got the Utah State situation. I know we all into football usually, but I thought, put this at the end. If you're listening, give me a thumbs up in the comment section. But I wrote a little article on this. But David Collette, we all kind of heard about him transferring from Utah State 2 days before the season started. Pretty crappy move, in my opinion. We don't know all the details. He spoke to Jeff Eisenberg of the Dagger at Yahoo. Even there, we're not entirely sure of the full story. But here's essentially what it comes down to. Putting a block on a transfer, not uncommon by any means. The initial block was to Power 5 schools. Like, okay, probably to not allow him to go. He's from Salt Lake City, so going to Utah. They like, well, don't go to Utah. Tim Duryea suspects tampering. So that's also a pretty big deal if that is the case, but I don't think that's the case now. Both sides wrong, but apparently now Utah State's on a 100% block to any Division I school, and there's 325. And what that means, no coaches can contact him at all, even though he's said he's going to transfer, not on the team at the moment. But with the block, you can't communicate those schools. So if he's going to play, say he does go to University of Utah or goes to Southern Utah, stays in the state, he goes to Weber State, he goes to wherever, Washington State, he goes to a bigger school. He has to just to enroll and then say, I'm going to be on the team. Or say, coach, I'm going to be on the team once he's enrolled. He has to pay his first 2 semesters. That's what a block is. So if you never hear of a block, they could still go to those schools, but they just have to pay their way. But Utah State went a step further. They went ahead and, I don't know if this is the norm or not, so maybe I'm overreacting, but apparently any financial aid he had for athletic aid has been canceled for this semester, which he's not on the team, so I get it, but that seems like a pretty scumbag move to do. To block, it seems petty for Tim Duryea to do that. And a couple of things like Collette, I heard a few people around town, but I think their takes are pretty ridiculous, but there's a few things. Oh, one other thing that's really crappy. He quit on his bio for Utah State, which really should just say he left the program. You could still put he left the program days before the regular season began. That's perfectly fine, I think, but saying he quit. But then changing his height and weight. He's officially 6'10", 235, but last year, I guess he grew a couple inches. He was 6'8", 220. And so I looked around. On Utah State side, it says 6'8". On ESPN, it says 6'8". But other sites like CBS says, correct, 6'10", 235. And that's really petty and vindictive on my part. I think that shouldn't be done at all. But the both sides are wrong. As I wrote in the article, the both sides are wrong on this situation. But there's a couple things like comments or saying stuff like, oh, put a gun back to your head for screwing up in practice. Not maybe directly at Colette, but Tim Duray in general. Just frustrated. It's like, oh, come on, I tell people I'm going to kick you in the face or something, but that's not really what I'm going to do. Like, I guess the comments were too extreme for him. It's like, you're playing Division I sports. Got to get over it. But again, if you don't like it, it's a situation you're not comfortable in, then he has every right to leave. And he played in exhibition games before. So there had to be something that happened between, because he was there in camp, they're doing the exhibition games, and 2 days before versus Weber State left. He's like, I'm done. There's alleged tampering involved. At least that's what Duryea says. But one thing as well, one other note here, there's apparently a fight where a sucker punch allegedly happened. And I'm okay with kind of what happened after. Like, don't say anything. Don't tell your family, the coach, to the players. And he didn't think that was right. It's like, well, I get it. You don't want a fight to get out in the media, because if you tell your brother, you tell your cousin, they may know somebody who says somebody, your roommate with whoever on campus, that could get out. So I get it, but it's like, well, a fight happened. Stuff happens like that in practice all the time. I'll just say this. If Tim Duryea wanted to leave any day of the week, he could leave. And people are saying, oh, there's a buyout. Like, Jim McElwain had a massive buyout, if I believe it was $5 million. He still left to Florida. A buyout's not going to keep a coach there, even if it's $1 million. Or Colorado State did the best they could with an amazing buyout clause. Yeah, you get reimbursed, I guess, or you get something back, but you're still losing a coach. It's different for a player. And doing 100% block is pretty crappy, in my opinion. So I get both sides are wrong in this situation. Leaving 2 days before is a terrible move on Colette's part, but also changing to 100% block is also very petty, in my opinion. Block them from your schedule in Power 5. Do with it. Maybe the state of Utah. Maybe, obviously, conference, state of Utah, future schedule for 2 years. I'm fine with that. Whatever. You can do a little bit here and there. I still would side with the player on where he can or can't play, but I would definitely check out the piece of Yahoo Sports, the Dagger. We linked to it in the article we put up on the website, but overall, it's like, give him a chance. I think it's pretty crappy that he can say, oh, you're not going to play, you're done. And if he does play, he's not going to be able to play until January, has to actually sit out the full year, can't play until January 2017, then he'll have essentially 3 semesters to play because you're a redshirt sophomore. But I wanted to chat on that. So that's our show for today. Hope you have fun travels. Hope you enjoyed talking about Mountain West football, a little basketball in there. Got games Friday. We'll have stuff. And hey, if you're bored or you're tired, sick of your family, plug in the earbuds. Check out the site. We'll have a few posts for Thursday. We got some basketball going on. We have some recruiting posts going up, the Get to Know You post. So I think we have a Nevada and Utah State one going up on Thursday. So we won't leave you high and dry on the holiday. So thanks for listening to the show. iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud. Check us out. Leave us a review. And 5 stars, that's all I say. So again, mwcconnection.com. Check us out on the website for all content. Football, basketball's heating up. But we've got one last week of football to go, and hope your team wins this week, and everybody have a great Thanksgiving holiday.